listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're recommending books with short chapters. Y'all love them. You want to talk
about
them.
They want them. They need them. They have to have them.
We're reviewing a book stand that kind of looks like a spider, and we're solving a problem about reading the classics.
But first, Bria, what are you reading?
I just was on a long road trip I was just telling Mallory about, and I started listening to Sociopath by Patrick Gagné, I think.
That's what you wanted to listen to while you were driving across Texas?
Hell yeah. It just came out. It's a memoir by a woman who is a sociopath. And it starts with her as a child. And so she is actually now a therapist who works with people who have sociopathy, who are sociopaths, or have personality disorders, I believe. And she just talks, she just knew when she was a kid, she was like, I am not like other kids. I am different. I don't feel things the way other kids feel. There's definitely something up with me. And then she gets confirmed with someone that she is with an actual therapist that she is a sociopath. But people are not studying sociopathy. Like it's like, it actually wasn't even in the dictionary when she started trying to look it up. It had been kind of moved over into antipersonality disorder or a psychopath. But she was like, I think I'm not quite this, and I'm not quite this. I think I'm something else. And so she talks about it, and she's like really done a lot of research on being a sociopath, and it's fascinating. And there's like, you know, they're like, what you think of as a sociopath is not what it is. You know, it's not just like, oh, it's Dexter.
I think about like Dexter.
Dexter. Yeah, that's what everyone thinks of. And she does have like rules she lives by, like Dexter, which is quite fascinating. The rules that she's decided that like these are important rules because she doesn't have the same regrets or she doesn't feel remorse like other people do. There's nothing, and she doesn't have empathy, but she does love. So it is really interesting because, look, everything's like a range, right? Like there's some people who have extreme depression and people who have minor depression. Well, you can be a sociopath, but not be at the extreme. So she has like some emotions, and it's just about her trying to figure out where she fits in society.
Oh my God.
I am loving it. I saw this book was coming out and I was like, this is for me. And it truly is. It's a pretty wild ride so far. What are you reading?
I am also listening to an extremely dark memoir on audio.
Okay.
And I do want to say before I describe this book that this is my book that I picked based off of the cover.
Oh, I was
browsing Libby, and the cover of this is so great that I was just like, I don't even know what this is, but I'm going to put it on hold. And I'm glad that I did. It's called The Manicurist's Daughter by Susan Liu, and it's read by the author. And the cover is like a neon nail salon sign.
Cool.
It's just really eye-catching and pretty, and it's this memoir. It's about this woman. Her whole family is Vietnamese immigrants. They like her mother came over, and her father came over, and then her mother brought the rest of their family over, and she had four kids while she was over here, and her mom opened up this chain of really successful nail salons in the Bay Area in the 90s. And no, it starts in the 80s. And one day, her mother was going in for what she told her daughter was some sort of stomach thing and went in a coma and died.
Oh, no. Like
and it turned out her mother went in for liposuction, for plastic surgery, died on the operating table. But the thing was, her whole family won't talk about it. It took her forever just to find out what happened to her mother.
Oh,
and so this whole book is like her searching for answers about what happened to her mother, what happened to this surgeon, but also like how what happened to her mother affected her the rest of her life, her body image. It is a dark, dark book, but it is not a feel good read, but it is extremely compelling. It's extremely well written. And you just feel for this little girl. And cause she keeps trying to talk to her family about her mother, and her family just tell her that she's being emotional and just tell her to shut up. It's wild, but you can't stop listening. It's just so compelling. So that's The Manicurist's Daughter by Susan Liu.
And mine is Sociopath by Patrick Gagné.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. We got a lot of feedback on hot tub reading, Bria.
Oh, good.
So Joe wrote in to say, hi, Bria and Mallory. I have a suggestion for the reader who wasn't sure about taking an e-reader into the hot tub. I am a kayaker, and I have these waterproof phone cases that clip to a lanyard for keeping your phone safe out on the water. Bria, we tested these a few years ago.
Yeah, we did. On my birthday, remember? It was like my birthday weekend in Palm Springs, yeah.
Joe says, it's literally a clear bag that seals out water, but you can still use the touchscreen. I recently solved my shower podcast problem by hanging one from the top of the shower curtain so I can change the volume and pause a podcast or audiobook in the shower.
Hey, I like that.
I just checked and found tablet size versions of these that could be perfect for an e-reader. It'll keep out water, salt, chlorine, steam, and anything else that might harm it. You want the kind that has little rotating dials on the top. That's what gives it the strong seal, but it won't solve Bria's Palm Springs overheating problem, though.
Yeah, yeah, which is a different Palm Springs trip, but yes, yeah.
Yes. I think this Joe's right. This definitely solves the waterproof problem, but it doesn't solve the heat problem.
No, it doesn't. This is cool. And we didn't even bring these up, which could be, yeah, these could be really helpful.
Yes.
Charlie wrote in and said, you mentioned getting waterproof earbuds recently, and it sounded like you were having mixed results. Have you looked at Shox, formerly called Shockwave headphones? Is that what's in your ear right now, Mallory?
Yeah, I'm literally wearing these.
Oh, they're bone conducting headphones and they go over your ears. Oh, I own these as well. With a very thin wire holding them together behind your head. Oh, a wire. Mine were more like a band. Maybe yeah, they've changed same. Them. They have a waterproof version made for swimming laps in. You may want to check them out. Okay, so
We tested these a long time ago.
And I really liked them when we got them, but I have tried to use them recently and I have found that I don't know if they've stretched or my head has gotten smaller, but I can't wear them. Like, they're too big on my head in a way that, like, I can't totally hear what's going on. Like, they're fine for around the house, but I can't walk around in them. But maybe yes. If they have ones that are, like, adjustable.
The problem that I had is that because they're bone conductors, and I have a really, I'm losing my hearing. I have a really hard time in public with background noise. I think that's what we talked about when we tested them out, is that these are actually really great headphones, especially if you're like me and you have weirdly small ear holes.
Uh-huh.
But they're not good for like taking a walk, being out in public, because you still hear all that background noise.
Right, right.
So it's kind of hard to hear. But these actually might be good for sitting in your backyard in a hot tub if there's nothing, no one's like mowing their lawn or whatever.
Kind of depends on how loud the bubbles are. What's the bubble situation? Is it a loud? Is it a gurgly hot tub? Like, what's going
on? How gurgly is your hot tub?
Yeah, but otherwise, yeah, I think these are definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, they are expensive, though. That's the thing. I think they're $120.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pricey.
I didn't remember them being that much.
Which is, weirdly not pricey for headphones. I bought headphones recently, and I was like, wow, some headphones are really expensive.
Yeah.
But when you're used to getting cheap headphones like me, your friend Mallory, mm-hmm. these are pretty pricey, but definitely mm-hmm. worth it if worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Then Aaron wrote in with a wheelhouse, and Aaron says, I really love the show. I discovered it in the summer via the ad that said something like, are you a grad student that hasn't been able to focus on reading for fun?
Oh, good. We were targeting you.
Because it described me exactly.
We were targeting you. It's a targeted ad.
Targeted ads. Despite still being in school, I've been able to finish 37 books since I discovered the show in July. That is incredible. And Erin's wheelhouse is capable women and diverse cast, whimsy, dragons, cozy fantasies, elderly tropes of all kinds, books about farriers or interesting takes on the afterlife. Wait a minute.
Oh, like farrier, like someone driving, like a ferry boat, right? Or no?
Yes, but a farrier is someone who changes horseshoes, right?
Oh, okay. I thought I meant like a person.
I think she might meant farriers.
Like F-E.
Yes.
It's F-A. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
a farrier is a specialist in equine hoof care.
How did you know? Oh, right. This is your weird vet background.
Yeah.
How would you have known that? So maybe she meant farriers, like someone who drives a ferry.
Yes.
I keep saying drives.
Or, you know what?
You know, boats
could
a ferry.
Could be a farrier for ghost horses.
Yeah, there you go. Also, would read that book.
Also, well-described magic systems and books that feature tea.
Very cute.
You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. If you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And before we recommend books with short chapters, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Earth Breeze. Earth Breeze Eco Sheets look just like a dryer sheet, but is ultra-concentrated, liquidless laundry detergent. It's tough on stains and odors while being kind to the planet and your skin. Bria, both you and I buy these with our own money.
We have started buying them with our own money. I really like these. I will tell you a funny story is that I realized my husband didn't know that these were our new, this was what we were doing for detergent now. And he went and bought detergent. And I was like, no, this is the detergent. These sheets, because they look like dryer sheets. So people,
they look like dryer
sheets. You have to know when you buy them, they're in a thin little package. It's just like a little envelope. And you just pull out the little sheets. You put them directly in to where you put the liquid detergent. And voila, they melt, they become liquid detergent, and they wash everything perfectly. I love these things. These things are amazing.
I love these things. I truly have given up using giant plastic jugs, which you think that I would like because they're heavy and I love lifting heavy things, but they take up so much space in your linen closet. They're always sticky and covered in lint. They're just really annoying. But these, the Eco Sheets are, besides being really great at cleaning your clothes, they're dermatologist tested, they're hypoallergenic, they're free of bleaches and dyes and parabens. There's also a fragrance-free option. So no matter how grumpy your skin is, these are going to clean your clothes and make your body happy. And these tiny sheets can stop millions of detergent jugs from entering our ecosystems. In fact, 500 million detergent jugs end up in landfills and oceans every single year.
Ugh.
Why would you have a giant, sticky, linty, heavy jug when you can have this nice little envelope?
Exactly. So right now, listeners can receive 40% off EarthBreeze just by going to earthbreeze.com/glasses. That's earthbreeze.com/glasses to cut out single-use plastic in your laundry room and claim 40% off your subscription. earthbreeze.com/glasses.
Glasses.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
This week, we are recommending books with short chapters, not short books, just books that are in the manageable chunk style. If these were in the grocery store, they would be next to, what is that? What's that brand? Is it Campbell's with the chunky soup?
Oh, sure. Campbell's. Yeah. So this would be small chunks.
Small chunks, chunks, manageable chunks.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking for these books more and more, and we have got you covered. So as hosts of Reading Glasses, we get to see rising and falling book trends. It is one of the fun things about this job. For example, this year during the Max Fun Drive, we noticed that Witch books, which used to be hot, are now getting replaced with cozy books and romantasy. One type of book that's becoming more and more popular with readers is novels with short chapters, any genre. We saw so many people ask for this during the Max Fun Drive. So why is this becoming trendy? Why are people looking for short chapters? Bria, what do you think?
Well, I agree. It's not something I had thought about a lot, but once people started bringing it up, I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah. I think it's because it tricks me into thinking I'm reading more. Like I'm like, oh, it's two pages in this chapter, but I read a whole fucking chapter. Like that's amazing. It's encouraging. And I think that that is, it's just, it feels so much more manageable when then you open up a book and you're like, okay, especially maybe also because people are moving their e-readers, Mallory. So it's like, oh, I can literally, when I open a page, it says to me at the bottom, 2 minutes left in this chapter or 45 minutes left in this chapter. And I'm like, 45 minutes. I'm not diving into that, but 2 minutes, I'll get it done. I'll crush it.
I hear you. I do the same. Sometimes I'll be like, it's before bed. I'm reading. I don't have another 45 minutes in me, but I have another 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
45 times.
Also, a lot of classics fall into this category and a lot of big books, like the popular books like James Patterson stuff. So if you are looking for stuff, I think like people like James Patterson, they realize they're like, oh, hey, people are not going to put my book down if I just make these short chapters easy and accessible. So I think that that's another reason is that maybe authors have like clued into this a little bit, especially again with the rise of the e-reader. What about you? Are you liking short chapters? Do you give a fuck?
Oh, I love these. I love books with short chapters. You love books with short chapters, all for the same reason that we don't want to commit to watching a full movie, but we will watch 4 episodes of a TV show.
For sure. For sure. I really did. Mallory, last night I was so tired. I watched 4 episodes of Loot. That show's great. If y'all aren't watching Loot, it's so good. And they're bite-sized chunks, little 25-minute episodes. Anyway, but it was like watching a movie. Instead, I watched 4 episodes. Go ahead.
Jeremy makes fun of me constantly because he always wants to watch a movie. And I'm like, I don't want to watch a 2-hour movie, but I will watch 4 episodes of a true crime docuseries that is 4 hours long. Like, it's just, there's something about being able to tap out earlier, I think. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sure we should have a psychologist on the show because I'm sure there's some sort of brain thing, but it makes you feel like you're reading faster. And I definitely have longer reading sessions with these books. Also, I think these are getting popular because we're all so busy. We're all so stressed. We're all working multiple jobs. We're all being crushed under the weight of capitalism. Just like feeling something that is easier to take in. And I think that might be what it is, too, is that like a chapter is, you know, this it's a chunk of a book. And if you can think to yourself, well, this little part of the story will be more easily absorbed because it's just in this little bite-sized chunk.
Yeah.
This isn't making sense, but
okay. It's like if you had to eat, like if you're like, I have to get all my vitamins, I have to eat an entire piece of kale, or I can eat a little tiny piece of kale. You go for the tiny piece of kale.
Yeah, because I also think there's something that happens when you end a chapter. It gives you a moment to digest it. But if the chapter is 50 pages long, it's harder to sit there and take all of that in at once.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I see that. I totally get that. I mean, it's the same with like maybe a short book as well, where it's just like, oh, I got through this. I haven't been reading this for 1,000 pages, you know, so you can like think about it more quickly, like as a whole. But yeah, I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's easier to digest, makes it feel like you're reading faster. Folks, maybe this is in your wheelhouse and you didn't even know it. All right. We picked out some recs, all different genres. And the first one is a double recommendation from us because we both loved this book. And I didn't even realize this was a short chat. I literally just sat in my library one day on the floor and just pulled out books and started looking through them. And I didn't realize this one was a short chapter book, but it is. It's As She Crawled Across the Table by Jonathan Lethem. And we both love this fucking book.
Yeah, it is good. And I think this is a book that like maybe, you know, we're having a lot of like, this is not a smut book, but it is about a person falling in love with a black hole. And like, I feel like now there's a lot of like romance books going in that direction where people are falling in love with non-sentient objects. But this one is great. Also has a grad school element for those of you in grad school.
Yes.
And we both really love this book. I loved this book. Someone has the rights to it. And I was like, oh, that would be interesting.
It'd be a great movie. Yeah. It's just about this movie. This woman. She's married. She's a scientist. And a black hole appears in her office, and her and her team start investigating it, and she starts falling in love with it and falling out of her marriage. And it's like they start to try to figure out, like, is this hole sentient? Because they start throwing stuff into it, and some things it keeps and some things it throws back. So they start projecting a personality onto this hole. What do they call it?
I can't remember.
Black?
Yeah, I can't remember, but I don't know. Yeah, they give it a name. Yeah, it's a great book.
It's just fun, quirky, weird sci-fi that's very light. Short chapters, so good. So, Bria, what's your first individual rec?
This is another one Mallory told me about after looking through her bookshelf, which is My Sister the Serial Killer by Oyinkan Braithwaite. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's set in Nigeria, told from the point of view of a woman whose sister is killing men. And not
what
so
else
quickly.
Do you need, folks? What
not
else do you
not
need?
Like she doesn't have like a, you know, a bunch of bodies in her past, but she has a couple, and the sister has to deal with it. And she's always been like the lesser sister and the less, you know, less beautiful, less paid attention to. And now she's in this situation where she has to help her sister. And it's just it's a short book as well. It's a novella.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one. What's your first one?
My first recommendation is Split Tooth by Tanya Tagak, and she is an actor and a musician from the new season of True Detective, which is really cool.
Oh, cool.
She has at least one song, maybe two, in the soundtrack, and she's a character.
Is she the main woman?
No, she's one of the like the cleaning women.
Oh, cool.
I'm trying not to spoil anything too much.
Okay.
But she's also an author. This book is super fucking weird, so you know I love it. It's very beautiful. It's like part poetry, part memoir, but part fiction, but also some like folk tales, folklore elements.
Cool.
It's about this Inuit girl. She's growing up on the tundra in Nunavut. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's this independent northernmost territory in Canada. It's in the 70s. It's also got illustrations, which is really fun. And you check out the content warnings, but man, this book is so great. It's unlike anything you've ever read. It's like this really interesting coming of age story. But again, it's a blend of a bunch of genres, but each chapter is so short. So super easy to digest, even though it's weird. And I love a book that's like that. She's like, all right, I know what I'm doing is strange as fuck, but I'm going to give it to you in tiny, manageable chunks. So it'll be easy for you to take in.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect combo for me. What is your next one?
My next one, it's literally in the title. It's Heating and Cooling, 52 Micro Memoirs by Beth Ann Finley. It's exactly what it said, 52. They're all about one page each or so. I read this one when I was acting on a movie a couple years ago, and I read it like between takes because that's how long it takes to read these chapters. You could just go in and every one is like a short little idea, and then you read it and you're done. So this is like, it's literally in the title. Beth Ann Finley knew this was going to be something people are looking for.
I remember you reading this, actually.
Yeah.
My next pick is Ugly Girls by Lindsay Hunter. Dark book. This might be a Florida book. I can't remember.
Okay.
But it's about teenage female friendship. And the story follows these two teenage girls. They're best friends, but they're kind of best friends, but also best frenemies. They're like constantly competing with each other until they have been talking to this man online and they decide to go meet him in person. And then they end up having to protect themselves and each other. It's very gritty and it's very visceral, but it's very compelling. Wicked good. If you love a story about like the intensity of teenage female friendship, this is for you. And again, very short chapters. What's your next one?
I feel for some reason I keep like wanting to make these short recommendations because I'm like, also the recommendations are short. My next one is Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders. Not only is this written in a quick way to read, which is like an experimental sort of like play-like structure, the chapters are apparently quite short as well. This was a popular one a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Mallory looked through her shelf for these. I went online and did a Google and was like, which of these books are good? And then I would go and divide the number of pages by the number of chapters and figured out which ones are short. Which
Oh my God, Bria.
But that's a quick way to do it. If it's like, oh, it's a 300-page book and there's 100 chapters, then the pages are 3 pages each. You know what I mean? Like, wow. So this is a great way for you to figure this out.
I did this by hand, sitting on the ground.
I can't believe it. I don't know.
No,
not me. Not me.
Wow. Oh, but I mean, we will say before we finish our recs that that's kind of the way to find these books is that because it's a structural thing and a format thing, not a genre thing, it's kind of hard to find these. Really, the best way to do it is just Google them or follow the Bria equation.
Well, it's not on Goodreads, but on Amazon, I think it tells you how many chapters each book has. Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, it's not on Goodreads. There was somewhere I found all of the chapters. Anyway, you can find that information online, how many chapters each book has, and you can do a quick division right before you start reading. Bring out those school skills.
Incredible. When you're sitting in class and you're like, when will I ever use this? It's to find out what books that you own have short chapters. Mm-hmm. So my next pick was a really buzzy book a few years ago. I think, when did this come out? I think mid-2000s. The Department of Speculation by Jenny Offal. It's an epistolary novel, which I know a lot of people love, and it's literary, but it is kind of, you know what's interesting is I'm realizing a lot of these books are kind of quirky.
Interesting.
This woman, she's writing all these letters to her husband through what they like to call the Department of Speculation, in which she's examining her life and their marriage. And it's all these meditations about love and family and art and like how she can be an artist while also being a wife and a mother and how those two things affect each other. And it's really brilliant. It's really poignant. It's a wicked quick read. And it's just like a beautiful, like this would be a great pool read.
Okay. Love that.
Wicked good. What's your last pick?
Well, I wanted to go with a classic because so many classics do have short chapters. I kind of wondered if that was like, is there something about that we want kids to read them, like that it makes it easier? But I went with Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut. It is 127 chapters and 303 pages. So that's like two pages a chapter. So we know that is going to be a short one. This is one of my favorite Kurt Vonnegut books, and I do consider this a classic, even though maybe it's not what would be assigned in school, but it is.
Oh, it's definitely a classic. This book's so good.
Did you read it in school or did you read it just for
No,
fun?
I read it for funsies. Yeah,
me too, but I do think it is a classic and totally worth reading, and it is super quirky and weird, super strange.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think almost everything on here is a quirky book.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Huh. We should do a deep dive into that.
We got to do a deep dive into that. Mm-hmm. Quirky short books. My last pick, because we can't have a recommendations list without having at least one horror book on there, is We Spread by Ian Reid. I love Ian Reid. I've read everything he's ever written, and this book is his latest. It's extremely surreal and strange and scary and fucking awesome. It's about this old woman. She's an artist, and she's getting to the point where she can't live alone anymore, and she is surprised to discover that her husband, who was a very famous artist that kind of suppressed her career, had already arranged and paid for her to stay in this facility for the elderly. And she's kind of shocked. She's just like, oh, I don't have any recollection of us discussing this or me saying yes to this, but sure, I guess I'll go along with it. And at first she loves it because it's a really nice facility, but she very quickly notices that things are weird and she can't tell if it's because she's aging and losing some of her cognitive abilities or if something sinister is happening there.
Ooh.
And you will, I think I read this book in one sitting because even the chapters are short, but also within the chapters, there's so many page, like section breaks that you are just fucking flying through this book.
Wow. Okay.
It is so good. So you can send your thoughts or recommendations for short chapter books to readingclassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we review A Book Stand, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Miracle Made. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you could sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. Bria, we both love these sheets so much.
We do. They are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresher 3 times longer than any other sheets. No more gross odors. And they're luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. And they feel as nice, if not nicer, than sheets used by some 5-star hotels. I think these are amazing. I love these sheets. I find them, they're just, I've talked about this before. I love when they're in the sheet rotation and they come up.
Yep.
What a wonderful time. I actually do find these sheets very comfortable. And I'm a tough sleeper. It is hard for me to sleep. You know when sheets are kind of like loud?
Oh, I know 100% what you're talking about.
That, ooh, I hate that. These are not. These are soft. They're quiet. You get in, it's like you're getting into the most soft, like silky feeling cotton sheet you've ever felt.
And you were like me in the way that we both have pets and our pets like to sleep in bed with us. Almost every morning, Lula wakes me up and gets under the covers with me. Aww. And you'd think that that would give me a stinky cat bed, but no, because I have Miracle Made sheets and they're infused with silver. They just smell like fabric. They don't smell like my stinky cat. Oh, my cats aren't stinky, but you know what I mean. And so unless you are a werewolf, you should be checking these out. They're luxuriously comfortable. Go to trymiracle.com/glasses. If you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code glasses at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels. And save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Again, that's trymiracle.com/glasses to treat yourself to a free towel set and over 40% off. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Glasses.
Glasses.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to look at some book tech advances in bookish technology. This week's book tech was sent to us by a glasser, but there was no name. Thank you. Please let us know if this was you. Amazon is not always reliable with sending notes or names. Please email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com if this was you. So this is a book holder stand. Book stand slash holder. It's called the Tab Lift Holder. It's a stand for an e-reader or a tablet, and it has these 4 flexible metal legs, and in the center of that, it looks like a spider, basically. In the center of it, it has this little holder with these 3 tilted slots, and you stick your device in one of the slots, you situate it on your lap with 2 legs on either side of you. You can use it in bed, on the couch. It is $50 on Amazon. What did we think of this?
High price tag. Okay, I tried it out this morning. I didn't think this was going to be something I needed or liked. But, okay, first of all, I went to the website because I was like, how do I use this? Am I supposed to be laying down? Am I supposed to be sitting up? And you go to the website and it says, the first hands-free tablet device or something. And then there's a picture of a woman holding a tablet with her hands. Get your marketing straight. But then I went to another page, and on that page, it showed the person sitting upright or is mostly sitting upright. And then you put the tablet in there. And okay, Mallory, this is bad news, but I left my Kindle on a plane.
again?
Yeah. Now, I'm hoping to get it back. But in the meantime, I'm using my iPad, which has a Kindle app. Thank you for that, which is great. And I you know, I have an iPad. I use it for work, so it's fine. But I kind of want a waterproof tablet anyway, so I feel like maybe this is time. But I'm hoping I get it back. Southwest, please call me. Anyway, so I tried it this morning with my iPad, and I couldn't fit my iPad with the case on it in there, unfortunately.
Yeah, the slots are not super wide.
So I am docking a page from that. Other than that, I loved this. I was like,
really?
Because I like to lay on my stomach when I'm going to sleep. But if it's during the day, I was like, oh, I can like still hold my cup and drink out of it. I could eat while this is here. I'm not getting like my grubby little hands all over my iPad, which is, you know, those iPads get dirty looking so quickly. I actually thought this was amazing. I'm going to say I'm giving this 4 out of 5 pages. I'm docking it just because I couldn't put my whole iPad. I take the case off of it and I don't love doing that because it is an iPad and they're so expensive. But I liked that. I was like, oh, this could fall over. But they have this little thing that you hook over the back of it that keeps your iPad or Kindle or whatever in place. So anyway, 4 to 5 pages. I liked it. What'd you think?
Well, I do think the biggest problem with this is it does look like that giant spider from Stranger Things.
It does look like a spider. It looks like a spider.
It's like, it so doesn't spooky. Get any point, it, no points for aesthetic. Like, if you saw this in the middle of the night, you would think that a giant tarantula was in your bedroom. Like, other than that, weird.
But the thing is, the spider legs, you can move them. They're adjustable, you know, like adjustable, like they bend, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're bendy. This is one of those pieces of book tech for me that I think would be amazing for readers with very specific needs. Like if you have neck issues and you are an e-reader and you want something, and like a book pillow isn't enough to keep like to raise up your e-reader to a level where you feel comfortable reading it. This would be a game changer for you. I do think this works best with one of those automatic page turners.
Yeah.
Because my other problem with it is there's no cushion to rest your arm on. It's just these metal arms. Like it's not like if you're leaving your hand next to the e-reader to press the buttons, it's not a super comfortable situation because you're just resting on this thin metal arm. I did try using this with a print book just to try it, but the slots are definitely not big enough.
Okay, it's just for e-readers.
To put a print book in there. It's really best with a tablet or e-reader. It is pricey though, $50. But if you read laying down with an e-reader all the time, you get neck strain. I think this might be worth it. So I'm also going to give it a 4 out of 5 pages, but since I think it should come with a cushion, and I think they should try to make it cuter so it doesn't look like a monster.
We're pro convenience, anti monster on this show.
The funny thing is, we're actually very pro monster, but this thing is it is creepy looking. It just when it's over your lap, like you feel like you're about to get abducted by an alien. Like there's something weird about it. But again, if you we do get a lot of emails from people who have like neck strain and are looking for tech to keep a book upright. This, I think, is the perfect thing. So there's a link in the show notes if you want to check that out. And if you have ideas for book tech for us to test out, send them to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Or you can check out our wish list in the show notes and send us something. Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Bethany writes in. Bria, you want to read this since it's a y'all one?
Oh, sure. Hey, y'all. I'm new to Reading Glasses, but I love your show. I started listening to book recommendations and have even brought up some of your ideas to our new book club that we started at work. The book party idea is definitely on the table. I have been a Max Fun supporter for years and added you to my supported podcasts. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
My problem is, when I was in high school, I never read the books that were assigned to us in class. Now that I'm older and have begun reading fervently, I have wanted to read some of the classic books that 15-year-old me was too cool to read. My problem is that there have been a few of these books that I finished reading and thought, wow, that book was really great. I want to discuss this in a group setting and see if I can't get more out of it. The problem with that is that everyone else has already done that. No one wants to sit and talk about To Kill a Mockingbird with me because they already did that when they were in 11th grade. So now I'm stuck reading Spark Notes for Brave New World to see if there are themes I'm missing. Spoiler alert, I missed all of the themes. And scouring the internet for the history and backstory of Their Eyes Were Watching God that would enrich my reading experience. Do I need to pull a Never Been Kissed or become a Cullen and just go back to high school so that I can attend these classes again? How can I discuss books that everyone has already discussed? Big thanks to all you do. Do you want to read Bethany's Wheelhouse?
Bethany's wheelhouse is horny fairies, modern romance with fake dating, Victorian romance, and LGBTQIA plus stories. Definitely sounds like a Glasser. All right, Bria, what do you think Bethany should do?
By the way, I love this idea, and I may put it in a script that someone is going to go back to school just to discuss To Kill a Mockingbird.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, very much that. First, I think you should start this book club, like this specific book club. I realize you've already started a workbook club. You may not want to do another book club. Like books I missed in high school. Like there must be, I'm sure there's a Reddit feed for this actually that people are doing. Second, I do think people want to discuss these books. Like if someone's like, I'm reading To Kill a Mockingbird for the first time and wow, the themes, I'd be like, now, what are the themes? I don't remember, but I do remember the book because I don't remember. I think it could be fun trying to remember it and seeing it through a new light. So don't discount that people do like discussing books they read, even though it is a long time ago, because especially those books where we had to like write papers on them, they are pretty like seared into our memories. I think even I can remember To Kill a Mockingbird better than I can remember a book I read last week. The other thing I would say is that like, have you thought about taking like an online class? You don't have to go back to high school. You could actually go take a community college class. I just am thinking about this because my mom and stepdad take classes online. Like they take music classes online. My mom takes French classes online and has learned French that way. And like there are classes you can take online through a school, through an accredited school, or I'm sure there are other places as well where they are discussing these things and you can get in a class and discuss it. Not with teenagers, but with adults, which actually would be even better. Yes. And I look, continuing our educations as we get older, I think is really important. And she says, as she's something she's never done. Actually, I am trying to do.
Bria, you do host a book podcast. I feel like you're good.
Well, I took a CPR class last year and I used it recently. Did you know that?
What? Did you save someone's life?
Okay. I'm going to say yes.
But what?
I didn't. I was at, well, this is such a side note. I was at a Korean spa and, you know, you're all naked in the hot tub. Everyone's naked. This woman was in there too long. She got up. She tried to stood up. She passed out. And I was like, I jump up. I'm naked. I run up to this woman and I'm like, she's falling. She's on the floor. A friend is like, hold her up. I'm like, it's okay. And I check her breathing. All the stuff I learned in my CPR class that I took online. I just took a random CPR class online during the pandemic. Not during the pandemic, like recently, fairly recently. And anyway, cut some of this out, Brit, if it's too long. But basically,
no, this is, I'm riveted.
And then I checked her breathing and I checked her pulse and I was like, she's going to be okay. So I didn't save her life, but I did make her friend feel better.
That is wild.
But I did come home and I was like, I saved a woman's life today while naked, just so
while
you know.
While nude.
Anyway, I think continuing education is important. And who knows whose life you might save at the spa by reading To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't know. Who knows how that could benefit you? What do you think that Bethany should do?
Well, I agree. I don't think Bethany's alone at all. I remember a really long time ago when we did our classics episode, like depending on which high school you go to, you only read 4 or 5 books. So there's, even if you did all the assigned reading in high school, there's still a lot of classics that you miss. I didn't read To Kill a Mockingbird until college when I read it on my own because I was like, man, I'm missing all these cultural references. We did not. I think we did The Pearl, a separate piece, Canterbury Tales, some Shakespeare, and The Crucible, and another witch one. Oh, Scarlet Letter. But we never did it. So there's always going to be a classic that people have missed. And some of these books, like I still to this day have never read Catcher in the Rye. So I miss a lot of those.
You should read it.
I should, so I can get some cultural references. So I think Bethany should look into some online book clubs. So if you're not interested in doing a class, which I think actually is a good idea, but if you're like, I don't want to do homework, there are a lot of online book clubs for literally specifically for classics people missed in school. There's a ton of them. There's also a popular subreddit on this. I did look this up. I forget the name of it, but if you just Google classics online book club, there is a subreddit. I think right now they actually are reading Their Eyes Are Watching God.
Oh, wow.
So it's just never too late to read a book and want to talk about it. It doesn't matter how old the book is, how classic it is, how popular the book is. There's a group of people who haven't read it and want to talk about it. They want to know those themes. Mm. So I do think starting an in-person book club could be fun if you want, but just go on the internet, read the subreddit, like contribute to it or join a Zoom book club. Bethany, you are not, I think you are doing a great thing and you are not, you're not being left behind. Classics are classics for a reason. People are always going to be discovering these and talking about them. So if you want us to solve your reader problem, or you've just passed out, please call Bria Grant. Please email readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group. And remember, it's springtime. You want some new tank tops, some new t-shirts, go over to our Void merch store. It's all kinds of cool Reading Glasses merch. Some have swears on them, some do not. It's a link in the show notes. Whatever you get, swears or not, it will go to feeding our cats and Agnes the dog. And if you like the show and you want to do something completely free for us, please rate and review us on the podcast listening app of your choice. It is so great for us. It warms our hearts and helps us reach more readers. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, on Instagram at readingglassespodcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks for reading.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.